Joe, born to be an entertainer?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. No, I don't know. I was born to be a div.
You had a few jobs though, didn't you, before you took to the stage?
Oh yeah, I was. What was my first job? I was a civil servant, Department of Transport and Environment, Dangerous Goods Branch.
Well, sounds very, very official.
It was official, but all I did was make the tea and did a bit of photocopying.
And then it all changed.
Well, yeah, I got a job at a holiday camp calling Bingo and refereeing wrestling, which opened my eyes to the world of what they call show business, I suppose, even though it wasn't proper show business, but it was in those days. And just through being at the right place at the right time, I got on new faces. I won the heat, came second in the grand final, and never looked back, as they say.
And your voice, distinctive. It's unmistakable now. We keep hearing it on adverts, on trailers.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it?
But it does go before you, doesn't it, now?
It does, yeah. You know, the amount of stuff, voiceover work I get is incredible, really. But even now, after all these years of doing it, I still come across people that aren't quite sure about it. I did a voiceover a few years ago with Bob Hoskins, and it was for nappies. I can't remember which nappy advert it was. And normally when you do this voiceover, there's somebody else there. You don't do it at the same time. They do what they call drop-ins. You do your bit one day, they come another day. Mm. And when I got there, the director was there and the company execs were there. Said, right, well, Bob Hoskins will be here in a minute. I went, what, is he coming? He said, yeah. And they showed us this film of two babies. One was about a year old and the other one was about three. And Bob Hoskins' voice was doing a voiceover of the one that was 1 year old sitting in a high chair. And I was making, like, tea. We had a little tea party thing and I was pouring out a cup of tea and giving him a bit of cake. And I had all the lines. And I had to say, Mummy says, if we all had greens and we grew up be big boys and blah, 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 blah. And at the end of it, Bob Hoskins had to go, aye. That was all he had to do, was aye. So they showed us a film and I did all my lines and he's staring at me. He wasn't saying nothing. And the director came and said, is everything right, Bob? He went, yeah. He said, well, you missed your cue. He went, did I? He says, yeah. He said, well, it was him. He put me off. So I said, I didn't do nothing. He went, no, it's just the way you talk. How'd you talk like that? I said, well, this work comes out all the time. He went, yeah, but I've never heard it come out of a geezer. I've heard it come out of a bird, but never out of a geezer. So we had to do the whole thing again. Each time he kept missing it because he was staring at me going, oh, you're putting this on. And I had to leave the studio just so he could do it.
You know what I'm going to ask you now? It must come up in all the interviews you do, The Jungle. You know, when you arrived at that point, was your career, it was on the up anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was always working.
You were
getting
plenty of work.
Yeah, I was always working. But, you know, these comedy changes over the years, and I think it's on full circle. You know, I think I've always been one of these people that never thought there was anything such a thing as alternative comedy. Either something's funny or it's not funny, whether it's mainstream, alternative, whatever you want to call it. And it just came in, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do this.
How did it come in?
They ask you to come down and have an interview. So you go down. I went, well, listen, it's not for me. I don't think I'm that funny when I'm not working. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. So I'm not going to... I've been married 20 years now, so I won't be crying for me fags, me booze, me pills, me wife, cause, and my kids are a pain in the neck, so don't worry about that. You don't want me. And, of course, by the time I got home, they phoned back and went, yeah, we do.
I'll never forget that moment, and I'm sure many people must say this, Joe.
The rats. I had to sit in the rats. That's right.
You were buried. You were buried in the coffin.
That's
it.
I was in the coffin with the rats.
That was an awful moment to watch.
Oh, that was the. You know, I don't mind jumping out of planes, hanging out of helicopters. All that's fine. But when they put you in this, and it is pitch black, you cannot see nothing. And they fill you with water. Fill the whole thing with water. And they don't tell you what's going in there. You know, you do. You know, you work out if it was going to be rats. And there was 40 rats put in. And because I was reasonably calm, I found out after the directors had put some more water in. So the only thing out of the water was my face. And that's the only bit that was dry. So that was what they was hanging on to.
The worst nightmare for many people doing something like that. What was going through your mind at that time?
I don't really know. I think you just... in actual fact, I do know. I was just singing on a song that get on your nerves. Yeah. You know, I was trying to focus on that. Which is a bit weird, I know, but that got me through it.
Did you ever think, what the heck am I doing here?
Oh, every second of the day. Did you think, what am I doing here?
You can do anything if you've been in the jungle now, can't you?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You get this false sense of security going, oh, I can do anything now.
After being buried in a coffin with rats.
Yeah, and Janet Street Porter.
And Janet Street Porter.
Yeah.